Amen. Well, I hope you've learned to depend upon His Word. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And as we think about loving our church Sunday, I'm going to take some time, maybe a little different than most messages. I'm going to take some time to lay down some doctrinal points. And so I don't want to get too meticulous, but at the same time, there's a lot of confusion as to the teaching on the church. By the way, the word doctrine just simply means teaching. So when I say doctrine, just in your mind, it's teaching. And there's a lot of misconceptions about the church and what the Bible has to say about it. So let's take just a little time to introduction, but I'm going to be aware of the time and we'll get going, all right? Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I could preach this message next week too. We could use the same text and preach this next Sunday morning, and it would go. It's an amazing text. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I am not going to comment. We're just going to go on, because the church, this is not a message on the family. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Love the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Notice the comparisons there. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but notice what it says here. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. So we use this particular paragraph to preach on the family and preach on the husband and wife relationship, and it does apply, absolutely. There's no doubt the application can be addressed to the husband and wife. But notice Paul here says, I speak concerning the church. He said, this paragraph is really illustrating for us what the church is and the relationship of the church with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God. And so as you're thinking about this particular paragraph, most of us who've been in church a long time, we automatically go to the husband and wife relationship. But Paul is really saying this is illustrating for us the relationship between God and the church. So I'm going to read verse 32 again. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So you can see now I could preach this next week on Love Your Family Day, but Dr. Barbara will be here next Sunday morning preaching, and we'll look forward to that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the Bible, and Lord, its teachings on the church. Help me, Lord, to convey it in such a way that it will sink into the hearts of the hearers, and that, God, we will love the church as You love the church. In Jesus' name, amen. We know the Bible makes it clear that Jesus Christ established the church. He said in Acts 16 and verse 18, He said to Peter, Thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And so many people take that verse and say that, well, the church is supposed to be built upon Peter. That's not the context of the verse. That's not how the verse reads. Amen. Jesus said, Thou art Peter, pointing to Him, upon this rock I will build my church. By the way, Peter means a small stone, a pebble. He's not going to say, Peter, I'm going to build the church on a small pebble. No, He's going to build it upon this rock, Petra, a huge rock, a rock that can't be moved. And I'm thankful that the church is built upon Jesus Christ and not upon the Apostle Peter. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we recognize at Heritage Baptist Church that the church was established in the Gospels by Jesus Christ Himself and not in Acts chapter 2. And again, I'm not going to go into detail, it'd take a long time, and that's not the intent of the message this morning. But again, Jesus Christ established the church. John the Baptist put the building materials together. He gathered the disciples together, baptized, and Jesus Christ took those disciples and founded the church. Jesus Christ found the church. Upon this rock I will build my church. The church was again established by Jesus Christ. He loves the church. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. In fact, he loved the church so much that he gave his life for it. Amen. That's how much he loves the church. Amen. Died for it. By the way, verse 29, he says, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Jesus Christ, notice what nourisheth it and cherisheth it. He's talking about the church. Amen. The church. Jesus Christ loves the church. The word church in the Greek is ekklesia. Everybody going to turn me off? Everybody already did it. I mentioned a Greek word. Everybody, beep. It's like a little switch in the back here. All right. The word church in the Greek, in the New Testament Greek, is ekklesia, which means a called out assembly. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. So he identified this ekklesia, a called out assembly. So ecclesia would be used in a mode like if the city of Haslett could call out for an ecclesia. They want all the city members, all the city citizens to come together and assemble at the downtown huge center, downtown Haslett, the huge, huge building they have down. We're going to go down there and meet. That's an ecclesia, a called out assembly, calling the citizens out to assemble together, ecclesia. That's what Jesus, that's the word that's used here, church, ecclesia, called out assembly. The called out assembly, together. Together, a called out assembly. Called out. We're going to assemble together. Together. I don't know about you, but if I go to a city council meeting, an ecclesia, where they have assembled together, that when I walk into that room, and I've done it many times, I see people there. They are not invisible. Amen. People have taken this word and run amok with it and come up with all sorts of funny ideals about what a church is. A church is a called out assembly. He said, my church. So what does that mean? Well, it means it's his church. What is his church to do? Called out assembly of born-again baptized believers. Amen. Those who are saved. And then we would add on to that, fulfilling the Great Commission, because you can't be a church without fulfilling the Great Commission. Jesus Christ made that clear in Matthew 28 and other places. So the definition is a called out assembly of born-again baptized believers fulfilling the commission that the Lord gave us, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what we're supposed to be doing as a church. Ecclesia, a called out assembly of born again baptized believers fulfilling the Great Commission. 114 times the word ecclesia is used in the New Testament. Of those times, only 14 times it's not referring to a specific church. So out of the 114 times, everybody keep with me. This is technical stuff. Here we go. 114 times, of those 100 of those times, he's speaking to a specific church. He's speaking to the church in Philadelphia. He's speaking to the church at Corinth. He's speaking to the church at Galatia, or the province of Galatia. He's speaking to the church at Philippi. He's speaking to specific churches or a church. Only 14 times he uses the word as in an institutional sense. Let me give you an idea of what I mean. Institutional sense is that he's using the word in general. For instance, we think of the American family. That's a generalization of all the American families. But when we think of the American family, we don't think about some invisible, universal, invisible family out there. No, we think of each individual family, the American family. We think about the American automobile. Okay, I'm being very generic, but we're talking about the American institution of American automobile as an institution. We don't think about some invisible car out there. So no, we think about Chevy, and we think about Dodge, and we think about... No, not that one. And not that one. I shouldn't even mention Dodge. I should have just stepped with Chevy. But, and Mazda Miatas. Anyway, 91 models. But we think about individual cars, not a big universal invisible car. I know I'm belaboring the point a little bit, but I just want to belabor the point because, again, the word ecclesia has been misused and abused. Amen. It's a called out assembly. For instance, I appreciate those who watch live stream our church services. But if you are watching a live stream video of our services, you are not in church. You did not attend church. You are not in church, period. Because a church is a called out assembly of born again baptized believers. You would have to assemble here in this location in order to be in church. Now, if you're sick and or you had to work or you're unable to be here, God providentially hindered you, amen. What a great resource to have. And God's used our live stream and in a great way to see lots of people come. And it's an amazing, amazing tool. But it's not church. To watch David Jeremiah on TV is not going to church. To watch Brother Jeffers over in Dallas. And Brother Jeffers is an amazing preacher, an amazing man. I appreciate his stand. He's doing such a great job of standing in the world today. But to watch him on TV is not going to church. That's not going to church. The church is a called out assembly of born-again baptized believers. To assemble in your home and have a devotion is not a church. That's become very popular. Home churches, blah, blah, blah. Now, if you are starting a church and you're meeting in your home, that's a whole different story. But that church should be started out of another church. But a church is a called out assembly, born again, baptized believer. And then we have this group of people who say, well, Pastor, I just don't like organized religion. Well, then you don't like what Jesus likes. Because he said he loves the church. Hello? It's common. I have a hard time with that. Yes, there are definite problems with many churches in America today. There are definite problems. By the way, you show up to any church, you're going to find problems in it. No church is perfect. He said what? He said spotted and wrinkled. Listen, you come to a church, and if it didn't have problems when you arrived, it does, right? We're all sinners. And to an extent, all hypocrites. I get that one a lot. Well, preacher, I don't go to church anymore. A bunch of hypocrites up there. I'm like, yes, and I'm one of them. You know, I try to live right and I try to live a godly life. And every once in a while, I mess it up. Amen. And some of you and some of we all mess up from time to time. And there's always going to be hypocrites in the church. And there's always going to be an excuse for somebody or someone not to come to church. I remember one preacher saying, well, I went to this house and made a visit. He said, I went to this house and made a visit one day, and it was somebody who was a member of our church, hadn't attended about a year, and he said, I knocked on the door and said, hey, so-and-so, how are you? Man, we've really missed you in church. And the guy really did say this. He said, the guy said, I have milk in the refrigerator, Pastor. I can't come to church. And then he clarified. He said, any excuse will do. I mean, you can come up with any reason not to come to church, you know. Milk's about to expire. I better stay home and drink the rest of it. I know I'm being silly, but understand Jesus Christ, he says he loved the church and gave himself for it. And though there are definite issues within churches across the nation and in the world, it certainly doesn't give us the right to throw it out. The baby with the bathwater, whatever you want, however illustration you want to use. No, Jesus Christ loved the church. Amen? That's Bible. And don't shoot the messenger. That's the Bible. It's what it says. And we're just going to preach it plainly and state it plainly. That Jesus Christ loved the church. Again, we see so many churches today suffering. There are more churches in America closing than opening because churches are being taken for granted. They're being taken for granted. There are people today, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but there are people today home, not in church when they know they should be. They're taking their church for granted. They're thinking somebody else will do it. Or maybe they're staying home to pre-Super Bowl it. I don't know. But taking churches for granted. Jesus Christ loved the church. Jesus Christ did not start the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army does some great things. The Red Cross does some great things. There are other organizations doing great things, but he did not start those organizations. He started the church. Amen. What is the church to do? There are three analogies given in the book of Ephesians for what the church is. So this will help illustrate what the word means. What is the church? There are three analogies Paul gives us. The first one is a body. It refers to the church as a body. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, look at verse 19. And therefore, ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the building fitly framed together. Okay. Look, continue to go with me here. Fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together, an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's a great verse. It's not the verse I intended to read. It's Ephesians chapter 1. Y'all remember that verse. That's for the next point. I hate that when I do that. And I went ahead and read it because I'm not going to read it the next point. All right, we're just going to go. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his right hand in heavenly places. Talking about Christ. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet. Talking about Christ. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Talking about the church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now look over to Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 11. I'm going to go ahead and correct it in my notes, everybody. All right? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Talking about placing these in the church in order for them to work. It says, for the perfecting, the completing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Talking about the body of Christ, his church. Till we all come into the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, into the perfect man. I'm going to skip down. Look down with me. Goodness. What is my deal? Y'all just don't follow me well. Chapter 4 and verse 11. Okay, I have all of this marked in. I wouldn't even need the notes. Listen, I can do this whole thing without notes. Amen. It's all marked in my Bible. I preached this 1,000 times, and it's a great point. So let's step away. All right, chapter 4. Look, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And I'll slow down now. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, the completing of the saints. That's us. Those who are saved in the church, God gave teachers and prophets and for the completing of the saints, to edify, to build us up, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith. Skip down to verse 15. But speak the truth in love. By the way, we ought to speak the truth in love. Amen. It's important. This day and age, more than ever, we need to be careful that our tone is right. Amen? Amen. That we speak in love and not in hate. Hello? We're to love the sinner, hate the sin, and we ought to stand up for what is right. And listen, if God made man and woman, God made mankind perfect, just as they are. If God made you a man, he made you a man. If God made you a woman, he made you a woman. Amen. God didn't make no junk. I don't care what the Fort Worth Chamber of Commerce thinks, or the Fort Worth School District thinks, or what the government thinks. God made a man, and God made woman a woman. And we ought to be kind about it and love those whom are sinners just like we are. But we also should not be compromised in the way of standing for what is morally right and biblically right. Amen? Everybody with me? And that's in reference to the transgender stuff going on. Again, we ought to be kind and gracious. Preach the truth in love. May grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the first point, which took me 1,000 years to get to, is Paul refers to the church as a body. a body that works together, unified and working together. We know this from 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12, where the Bible says he placed into the church, members into the church, into the body, so that the body can work together. Some are eyes, some are noses, some are hands, some are feet, some are legs. Everybody has been put into the church and has been given the ability to do something for the church. Amen? We're all working together. So the first analogy that Paul uses is the body. And as a body, we are, at Heritage Baptist Church, we ought to be working to fulfill the Great Commission as our primary goal, as our primary source of what we're doing. Our mission statement is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to tell them of Jesus, to baptize them, and disciple them. That's our primary mission. And we as a body are working towards that. A body doesn't, a hand doesn't say to itself, I'm not going to do what the brain tells me to do. No, the hand does what the brain tells it to do, the head. Well, who's the head of the church? We read it a while ago. Christ is the head of the church. The legs don't get to decide what it wants to do. No, the legs do what the brain tells it to do. The head tells it to do. And so we as a church do what the Lord has told us to do. Amen. And that's to go to Africa and tell kids and adults about Jesus Christ and to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's part of the commission. That's what the Lord has told us to do, and we should fulfill that command. And though it may be costly, it is costly for our church to support missionaries, and it takes some sacrifice to support them. We support about 78 foreign missionaries now and about several others. We've over 100 different mission projects and gave over $200,000 to missions last year. Amen? That's costly, but that's fulfilling our mission as a body. It's passing out tracts. It's passing out flyers in the Hasset community. It's being a part of our community and reaching out to our community to start churches in Corpus Christi. Amen? To start churches in Maryland and to reach out as a body and to do the work of Jesus Christ, unified in that, marching together. I want to encourage you. The church is a body. It's not just a place to believe. It's a place to belong. I don't want to just come to church and get up and let the pastor preach to me and understand that I believe what the Bible says and therefore I believe what the pastor's preaching. I also want to belong somewhere. I want to have friends here. I want to have people that are surrounding me whom I can befriend and where I can belong. It's one thing to have a friendly church, and it's another thing to have a friendly church. It's one thing to have a nice church, a nice friendly church. Another thing to have a church that reaches out to befriend people. Let us always remember that. People don't just want to believe, they want to belong. The greatest way you can belong at Heritage Baptist Church is to get involved. Get involved. Pick up a trial. You know, pick up a shovel. Do something in the work of the Lord. We're a body working together to fulfill the Great Commission. All right, we need to move on. Secondly, the second analogy is the building. And we read the scripture a while ago. Now, therefore, look at verse 19, chapter 2. I'm not going to read the whole thing. And are built upon the foundation, he says, in verse 21, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. A habitation means a home. That we are, as a church, a building fitly framed together. 1 Peter chapter 2 refers to us as living stones, that we are stones, each one of us. Again, analogy. It's a great analogy. The picture is so awesome that each one of us are stones in building up this spiritual house. Building up a spiritual house. So when you walk through the doors this morning and you are a member of Heritage Baptist Church, you belong to this body, this church, then when you walk through the doors, you are a stone. The Bible illustrates it this way, that you are a stone, and each stone is fitly framed together. I want four or five guys on the front row. Hurry, hurry. Four or five guys. Come on up. Especially the boy in blue. I already picked on him once. So the Bible says we are fitly framed together. There's two or three references to this. Building up a spiritual house, you're sitting over here. All right? So fitly framed together is, it means you're close. All right? Lock arms. I know that you'll be all right. All right? Don't lock arms. Fitly framed together. Each one of us are a living stone building up a spiritual house. Not a physical house. By the way, the church isn't the building. Don't miss this. The church isn't the building. The choir sang about it a while ago. Fancy steeples and nice buildings do not make the church. The church is the people. The believers that are gathered here today, those who are members of Heritage Baptist Church, are members of this body and of this spiritual temple that we are building up. And the Bible says we are building up a spiritual house, a habitation of the Lord, a home for the Lord. When you walked in, you are a stone. This is Brody Wiggins. He is a stone here at Heritage Baptist Church. Stone here at Heritage Baptist Church. A stone here at Heritage Baptist Church. And what happens is, the Bible says, fitly framed together. Don't get too close. Fitly framed together. Go ahead. Don't get too close. All right, spread out a little more. Okay. No. Lock arms, man. That illustration, you're going to ruin the whole thing. Peter says we are living stones, building up a spiritual house. These stones are to be fitly framed together. When you come to church this morning, each member represents a stone, and you are fitly framed together. And when you're not here, you leave a gap. You leave a gap in the wall. You leave a gap in the temple. You leave a gap in the spiritual house. When you're not fitly framed together, when you're not here, you leave a gap. I know sometimes you're sick and there's hindrances and things that are legitimate, but sometimes people don't come just because they're tired and they leave a gap. Amen. Or they don't come because a Super Bowl's going on and they leave a gap. They don't come because whatever it may be. I pointed out one tonight that really gets everybody. It'll be okay. You guys, it'll be all right. You leave a gap. Right? Is that not the illustration? The illustration goes further. You can sit down. Thank you, guys. Good job. Illustration is actually referring to the Old Testament temple. That's the actual reference Paul's giving in Ephesians chapter 2. He's referring back to the temple, the Old Testament temple that Solomon built. Yeah. And he said Solomon took this great, magnificent structure, and he went to the rock quarry. His masons did, and they cut out the rock out of the quarry. When they did, they cut it out in such a way that it was an amazing thing. Like wallpaper. In other words, they would cut out this stone and number it one, cut out this stone, number it two, cut out this stone, number it three, and they cut out all the stones and they numbered them. And when they went back to the temple site to build the temple, they erected the temple and put the stones back exactly how they were when they quarried them out of the mountain. Get this now. That means they fit number one to number two to number three to number four. And so literally when you looked at the temple from a ways off, it looked like it was one big stone. Amen. All the little cracks and little stuff and they all matched each stone. Isn't that amazing how you do wallpaper, how you try to match it up with the texture of the next one? And it's amazing. It's an amazing thought. When you are not in your place, when you are not in your place at Heritage Baptist Church, a stone is missing. It means something. It makes us weaker. It makes us weaker. We're building up a spiritual house, and I could spend a lot more time on that one. By the way, when the temple was completed, the Lord showed up. So much so, the glory of the Lord came down and filled the temple. The glory of the Lord came down so much and so that the priests could not enter the temple. And that's what we want here at Heritage Baptist Church. We want God to be comfortable here. A habitation of the Lord, a home for the Lord. And when we build up the spiritual house, when we gather together as a church, then the Lord should show up. It's when we come together, the Lord shows up. Where two or more gather together in my name, amen, He shows up. But we don't want Him just to be here. We want Him to make Himself evident. We want Him to, if you would, express Himself while He's here, to give us evidence that He's here. How does He do that? People getting saved. People added to the church, families reunited, lives restored. We see evidence of Him being here. Almost out of time. Last illustration is the one I want to spend 5 minutes on. It's the wedding. In other words, Paul refers to the church as a bride. And that's what we see in Ephesians chapter 5, the illustration of the church being a bride. The analogy is so crystal clear. That Christ loves the church and gave Himself for it. We all, husbands, we ought to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Aren't you glad that Christ loved the church so much He died for us? And so, preacher, does that mean that, you know, does that mean He only loves the church? No. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But he loves his family in particular. Right? I love my neighbor. I love my neighbor, right? But I love my kids in particular. There is a difference. We are part of the family of God. I'm glad I'm a part of that. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this far. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You may notice we say brother and sister around here. When I was a kid, we everybody was called brother so-and-so. And I know I still do that with the men. But when I was a kid, you called all the ladies sister so-and-so. I know we kind of got away from that. But we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Part of the family of God. God loves his church. God loves the bride. Let me clarify again. The bride is an analogy. This is one of the areas in which many commentators take way too far. It's just an analogy. It's a way for God to and Jesus Christ to illustrate the relationship between the church and Christ. He's not saying the church is a girl. Hello. Amen? So you could take the analogy too far. But understand that he said that he loves the church and gave himself for it. It demonstrates our relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved his love for us and his church. He loved us so much he gave himself for it. We are the object of his love. He loves the church. By the way, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves the whole world. But he loves the church. He loves his church in particular. By the way, spotted. He loves us even though we have warts. He loves us even though we're spotted. That we are merely creatures, sinners saved by grace. That word spotted means fallen and defiled. That word defiled means hypocrites. It means unbelieving. It means carnal. It means childish, division. I could name off list after list. It can mean, you know, little sympathy. It means pride. It means sometimes there's too many chiefs. There's too many leaders. And not anyway, on and on and on. He loves us even though we are sinners. Aren't you glad of that? It amazes me that he knows our very thoughts and yet he still loves us. That's the love of God. It's a special love. As a husband loves his wife, so does Christ love his church. It's a constant love, an enduring love, an intense love. It's a love that just not just lip service, but there's action to it. He loves us. It's a regenerative love. It's a regenerative love. I'm thankful that he came and saved us from our sins. That he came and saved us. That he might what? Sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Verse 26. Sanctify it and cleanse it. I'm glad today that at the age of 6 years old, I knelt in the pastor's office and accepted Christ as my Savior. Greatest decision I ever made was to repent of my sins, recognize my sins, and believe that Jesus Christ lived, that he died, and he rose again, and I got saved. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope this morning you know you're saved. And here referring to the church as being washed and regenerated. Listen, we are still going through that washing of the word process. I'm glad today he hasn't stopped working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen? He's still working on me. Washing of the water by the word. This is the word, by the way, when he says by the word. This is what washes us. This is what cleanses us. That's why that little statement says sin will keep you from the Bible or the Bible will keep you from sin. When you're in sin, you don't want to read it. Right? Yeah. It'll keep you from our sin. The Bible will keep you from sin. We need to remember the Bible is the water that washes us. It's what cleanses us. It's the Bible that's so very, very important. Jesus Christ loves the church. He loves and regenerates the church. He loves and transforms those who are in the church. And Christ will one day present us to the Heavenly Father as the bride, if you would. That's the analogy now, not literally. You say, preacher, are you a Baptist bride? Absolutely not. I believe one day that all the saved will be called up in the rapture. All the saved. And that we will, as part of the family of God, we will meet around the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I don't have time to go over that. But I'm looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm looking forward to the day Christ returns for His saints. The rapture, the calling away, the catching up of those who are saved. And we will gather around the throne of God, and we will eat together, and we will fellowship together. It's going to be a glorious time, a wonderful time in heaven together, all the saved, all a part of the family of God. But while here on earth, I'm a part of His church, Heritage Baptist Church, and I'm going to continue to work. The body is to work. Let's, as a church, let's continue to work the works of Him that sent us. As a building, we're to be fitly framed together. Let us be careful that when we come together, we're fitly framed together. There's a lot more there that I didn't go over. So fitly framed together. And then one day we'll be in heaven with the groom. Amen? Until then, let's be careful about the spots and the wrinkles. Allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work on our lives. See, preacher, what's important about the church? Christ loved it. Gave Himself for it. It's important. He established it. Amen. Let's all stand. What am I to do with this message, preacher? Well, again, find a good church home and get in it. If you're already a part of a good church home, then get in it and get be a part. Amen. Find a place. And work for the Lord. Number two, the building. In other words, make sure you're here. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a man of some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching, Hebrews says, Paul says. Make sure you're here. Third, remember one day He's coming again. Amen. He's coming again. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Your love for the church. I pray this morning that the message has been clear. I've been very rushed, Lord, but I pray that You would give wisdom and understanding to the hearers. I pray, God, that through this we would be reminded of Your great love for this institution, for the church. Lord, we thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name.